Real life.
Superpowers.
One of my biggest moments of joy was when, again, my mother is a client of Discount Bank here in Israel. And when they had a very big commercial with our product, they are clients of ours, like all of the other banks. So they had a very big TV commercial with Rotem Sela, the fashion model, et cetera, with the Bridgewise product. And she said, Bridgewise. So my mother then said, you know, now I understand what you guys do. that was maybe one of the biggest moments of joy in my life.
Hey, everyone. Today on the Real Life Superpowers podcast, we're joined by Dor Elegula, co-founder and chief business development officer at Bridgewise. That's a company that's transforming the capital markets with AI-driven insights. Dor's journey is anything but conventional. With no tech background or elite army unit on his resume, he built a global fintech platform trusted by major banks and stock exchanges in over 15 countries. Before entering the world of finance and technology, Dor was a champion in a different arena. He and his twin brother were Israel's first ever esports pro players. They were crowned FIFA champions and became the country's first professional gamers signed by Maccabi Tel Aviv. That same drive to excel powered Dor as he transitioned into entrepreneurship, first developing an AI algorithm for diamond pricing, then shifting to financial assets and launching Bridgewise. Today, Bridgewise has raised $35 million, operates in 4 countries, and serves leading institutions like the Nasdaq, eToro, and the Tel Aviv Stock Exchange. Let's dive into his journey.
Real life.
Superpowers. Superpowers.
Dor, welcome to Real Life Superpowers.
Hey, Dor.
A pleasure to be here. Thank you for hosting me.
What's taking up most of your headspace these days?
Wow. where should I start? New clients, new partners, new products, and most importantly, my wife and daughter.
How do you balance that?
To be frank, I'm not always balancing, or not always balancing as I should. But for example, I do not work on Saturdays, which is a good time to enjoy the real thing, which is them. My wife punishes me whenever I'm late after, which means after 9 p.m. So again, I'm trying, not doing the best work on that front, but you cannot blame someone for trying.
I just had this memory of, I remember in Friends when Phoebe was saying, I'm fine!
This is exactly the kind of days I'm having.
How old is your daughter?
In 2 months, she's celebrating her second anniversary with us, which is, of course, a big celebration and a big production, and more for her mother than to her, you know, to Aria herself. That's the name of my daughter. I'm as long as I'm recognizing my role as a supplier for that event or as a vendor for that event, so I'm fine.
Would you advise Aria to be an entrepreneur?
Wow, I hope she would be in a position where she would like to do it. I don't have to advise her, but definitely if that's the thing she would want to do or would want to take a risk in doing such a thing, I would definitely recommend, because, you know, it's a big roller coaster, maybe the biggest roller coaster, with the highest ups and I wouldn't say the lowest downs, but some low downs. But it's definitely, as long as you enjoy the ride, you should definitely take at least one. Because I would rather look back and say, you know, even if you or she would fail, you would say, okay, at least I tried. I would always prefer that option on the option that, you know, in the age of 60, 70, on whatever, you look back and say, you know, I never tried. So I definitely encourage her to take the risk and try whatever she would want to try, of course.
Did you always see yourself as somebody who was creating their own path?
You know, I'm a very instrumental, I want to say, guy. again, my wife always said about me, I'm not observing myself as a character or as a person. But, you know, if I look back, I say yes. Both myself and my twin brother, or so we are partners for that journey of life and entrepreneurship and almost everything that we do or try to excel in. So, yes, because that's the way we were designed to be. You know, if we from a very young age, we were taught to, if we do it, do it the best way.
Taught by who?
By, I think, the ultimate teachers, the parents, of course. My mom and dad, when we started playing, again, from the very little stuff, when we started playing FIFA, you know, PlayStation, when we were 4 or 5, I don't even recall, my father told me, or told us, yeah, he said, we all know it's a waste of your time, but if you do it, win, okay? Be good at this. Do not, you know, just waste your time doing it. Be very good. And in the age of 16, we were crowned as champions of Israel in FIFA. The first ones in 3 consecutive years and the first gamers. So we took a lesson. And I think that little thing or that little piece of advice really...
They didn't say it was a waste of time. There's no money in that. Why should you do that?
Yeah, because, you know... He wanted us to play piano. I did one lesson and then I quit it because I didn't like it, because the teacher was saying, you know, you need to keep your hands up. And I was too lazy for that because I didn't like it in the end of the day. We liked FIFA because that's what we liked. But we excelled in it. Then it led also to some revenue, let's say, out of it, because we're pro gamers. But, you know, it's not about the money, I guess. It's about, again, excelling. And that's the way he believed, or they believed, my parents believed we should do. If you do it in the best way possible.
Why isn't playing the piano a waste of time along that logic?
I don't know, to be honest. Maybe it's because my father always dreamed of at least one of his children to play piano, a dream that did not come true. So
does he play piano?
No, he did not. I guess that's why he wanted us to play. So in the end of it, what he did is he bought some platform that plays the piano automatically, which is a real thing, by the way. But
Spotify?
No, it's not Spotify. It actually plays the piano physically.
It's a ghost piano.
Yeah, it's a ghost piano, but the piano actually plays.
Oh, the son he never had.
Yeah, I can tell you, I tricked my friends for years. Whenever they first came to our home, and like there is some kind of ghost, you know, something like that, because they saw the piano started playing. I guess you know, every parent has some kind of, you know, tries to fulfill at least part of his dreams or his missed dreams with his children. I don't know if it's the best thing, but it is what it is. It's human nature, I guess.
So you were playing FIFA with your twin brother. And how do you end up becoming an esports pro, especially since it wasn't even a thing before?
So I think it was around 2014, something like that. 13, 14. Okay. We're still...
How old were you?
We were 19. So during the IDF duties, let's say. And then... there was the like some kind of, we saw on Facebook, there was then Facebook, yeah, and we saw there is a tournament, a FIFA tournament. You have to buy in, you play, like you put, I don't know, 200 shekels each, you get to eat something, and you know the winner takes a prize. I think it was 4,000 shekels. So 18-year-old, it was nice of a prize, but more importantly, it was the first time we could actually test our you know, our skills. We were good among friends. We were always beating everyone. But you don't know if on the country level or the, you know, on the bigger stage, you would still be as competitive or as good. So it was more that than the prize. Of course, the prize is good. But so it was the first tournament and we crushed it. We both got to the final, like me against him.
Wow.
We won both first prize, second prize.
Who was first?
So it was that funny. We did not even play the final. We told them, give us the money when we go. Because, you know, we know how to play against each other. It was late at night. It was like 2 a.m., the final. So he said, you know what? Just give us the prize. We will play the final at home.
Weren't people watching?
Yes, of course. And since then, there were a lot of tournaments because it was the start of the new gaming, like esports kind of era or trend. And we became, quote unquote, a name.
Did you know you were that good?
We knew we were good, again, because we were beating our friends and some friends did not want to play with us. But, you know, again, when you are playing, it's like, the small numbers, you know, it's and when you beat 5-10 friends, you don't know if you are that good. You're good among them, but you know, I don't know if I'm as good. So on that tournament, we knew we are good. Again, we had some expectations, to be honest, but we knew we were good. And since then, again, for 5-6 years, we were beating the out of competitors. Which led us to being also, and that's a funny story, by the way, but to be what? The first pro gamers with Maccabi Tel Aviv. Maccabi Tel Aviv is the biggest football club or sports club, generally speaking, in Israel.
Is that before Mitch, the owner of Canada, bought it? Or
No, it was he was already the owner. So again, it was the very beginning of the new esports kind of thing where actual clubs wanted their own esports, let's say, department or something like that, or activity. And then we were, again, it's part of a Passover kind of tournament. Maccabi did like a fans tournament for FIFA. And of course, we won first place. And then, you know, we knew that the club staff, and they said, listen, you know what, we have an idea. And the rest is history.
And, you know, when you speak to professional athletes, then typically there was a toll it took, you know, like the training and the social life that they have to forego. How much is that aligned with esports?
Less, I guess, because the both the physical and the mental fatigue is less effective, let's say, because again, you can play. Winter, you can play any hour, any place. You just
need. you're saying because of it means the amount of practice that you can do. There's no fatigue. So if someone practices 6 hours a day, you could have done 12.
Yeah, and also you enjoy it because you like.
Well, they enjoy it as well.
Yes, yeah, someone doesn't enjoy the game. Most of all, to be honest, you enjoy winning. The fact that I'm not playing FIFA for the last 4 years. Why? Because one, I have a bigger thing I'm taking care of now, both family and startup. And you know, there is no other room, I'm afraid. But even more importantly, I'm not winning as I used to be. So that leads to frustration. And, you know, it's like, because I'm not practicing, so it's like a flywheel. Both on the good, on the upside, but also on the downside.
Is the way to overcome this to spend more time, which you obviously can't at the moment?
No, because again, to be honest, after 5-6 years of playing in the highest level, achieving, to be honest, the best achievements we could, again, maybe there is, you know, some marginal additional achievements we could have, but again, making some of our biggest unimaginable dreams come true, again, I'm a big fan. We are big fans of Maccabi by definition. So, it was a dream, and it came true that day when we came to the club offices.
Was that your dad's also? Like, is your dad a Maccabi Tel Aviv fan?
Yes, but after us, we were the first ones. We led him into Maccabi, not the opposite.
Oh, I see.
I'm actually interested that you stopped because you started losing because.
I did not stop because I started losing because, you know, you mature in some way and we started the startup and, you know, it takes all of your time and beyond and then family. So, you know, I'm still playing very, 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 very rarely with friends, but not at the competitive level.
I'm trying to sort of extract the inspiration and lesson that is obviously not even hidden here. Because most kids would go and play the PlayStation And it wouldn't become a profession, even if it's for a certain time frame, and it wouldn't reach a pro level. And, you know, circling back to your father saying it's a waste of time, to me, it doesn't sound like at any stage it was. And I also in general believe that gaming isn't a waste of time, especially if it's done moderately, because I really think that also you even develop new neural paths in your brain. I think you learn a lot and you've solved challenges, and there are a lot of skills of the new world that actually this can amplify and enhance. So I really think that if you're able to describe to us where you identify the gap between what you were doing and probably 99% of the other kids in the world, or at least in the country, I don't know the numbers, but like where did you identify the ability to rise above to be the top?
So I think, to be honest, my honest and frank answer would be luck. And I'll explain. I think like depending on what the cause is on what you do. Again, I also do some things that is not for achievement or not for a specific cause or goal. Yeah. You know, I spent some time watching things I get entertained with. So, you know, it's not always just for a cause, which gaming again could be one of the either goals. If you are super talented, and that's why I said luck, you need to be very talented. And we were lucky enough to be talented in this front and on others, I want to say. But again, I also was a basketball player up until the age of 18. The 18, and I was even up to I think it was 10th grade playing in the Israeli national teams. But then I cannot see it on screen, but I'm only 174 centimeters, so I'm not, or I could not have, maybe I was talented, but I did not have the physical skills in order to be the next LeBron James or even Danny Avdija. So I just, you know, I took my talents elsewhere. So again, some things are shaping your personality and your self, okay? And would not be an actual cause itself or achievement itself, but again, would help you in what you will potentially be successful in the future. And I can tell you the basketball days of mine, and then of course the esports, etc., are leading also or helping me as an entrepreneur as well. So it's, we should look at it as a more of a holistic self than just a, although I'm instrumental, as I said, a very instrumental, you know, okay, if I do this, I need to be the best. It's too deterministic.
So after you found out that you can be the best at something, you won this tournament, okay? You became a pro gamer. You first of all said something about maturity, which, you know, like, you know, I see esports bringing in money that for very mature and elderly fellows make a ton of money. So it should be, you know, maturity shouldn't, but it's more like aspirations. Okay. How'd you be like, okay, so you won, say this humbly, this tournament in FIFA. Why do you think you can make a business?
Because we are, again, those people who make a lot of money out of gaming usually do it in two other, let's say, verticals. One is usually another type of gaming, another vertical of gaming, which is usually the shooters or the arcade kind of stuff, which is different than sports. Like you would not see, again, maybe you would, but it would be very extreme to see someone playing FIFA or NBA kind of like traditional sports, esports, making tons of money. So it would be usually, again, the PUBG, those kind of things. The big games. And then second thing, which is even more important, is the market you are part of. I'm based in Israel. So the Israeli, again, like any sports, most of the revenue comes from advertising. And again, like any entertainment business, or most of the entertainment and sports business. So back then, and still, to be honest, it's not a thing you could do big at a big scale from a business perspective. And I want to say we have other talents as well. So we thought from a pure commercial and super selfish place, we decided to go elsewhere.
But the elsewhere, like then you opened up a business, right? Am I correct? Yeah. So So why did you think you can open up as a business? Like, why, what does that have to do with winning a tournament in FIFA?
So that leads me to another vector, which is education. Both me and all my twin brother holds a master's in law, LLM, I think that's the name of the town, which is a good name nowadays.
Yeah.
I have a master's in LLM. That's good. So we graduated this when we're 21. So very early we finished with our, let's say, education duties, which you know, makes the parents more eased in some way, because you know, you have that kind of, let's say,
you're not a pianist, but at least you have a degree.
Yeah, you have something in hand. So they feel more eased. And again, we had their backing in being more adventurous, let's say, or risk-taking, because we have a good infrastructure into taking those risks. And we both knew we still believe we have the talents, and we believe we have the education and the risk appetite and the backing to do such things. So we said, okay, let's do it. What's the downside? Time? Okay, we have enough. So it was a good decision, I want to say. That's where we took the decision to go on the entrepreneurial front.
So what was the first business you opened?
So we are the same partners like Bridgewise, the company we're running today for the last 5 years. But back then we were 21. We founded our first startup together. The name was Dindex. It was pricey. It was like we developed a pricing mechanism for diamonds using algorithms. The main business use case there was not to price your fiance or your next fiance's for the ring or something like that, but to provide a scalable infrastructure for financial instruments for diamonds. Diamonds, unlike any other commodity, is heterogenic. It's unique, but that's what makes diamonds unique. Each diamond is different. So unlike any other commodity like gold, oil, and even pork bellies, it cannot be priced in a proper scalable way.
I have to ask a question here. I'm lost. Okay, so you finished it. You won this tournament. You finished a degree at 21. Am I correct?
The master's, yeah.
The master's in 21, and you opened a startup in diamond commodities.
Yes.
Okay. How?
Remember, the first thing I said is luck.
No, so, but you decided to open this business. There's no luck.
I'll tell you. It's all about luck. In the end of the day, you can have an enormous amount of talent, but you need luck. What I'm saying, why I'm saying that, Gabi, my co-founder, our CEO, he's a partner of ours for the last 9 years. He met my father and he tried to pitch him another startup in another field. And my father, again, we were very lucky. And my father told him, listen, the startup is interesting, but you're more interesting. Go and here's my two boys. They just graduated their masters. Do something together. Okay.
Wait. What's the context? Why was your father pitched? Is he an angel investor, VC? What's the?
So I want to say my father has a PhD in law. He's like he's practicing. He's a lawyer by profession, but he's also investing in either real estate and other things. So yeah, we met him as some friend introduction. You know how it goes, especially in the early stage, especially in Israel. It's all about connections. So he introduced the idea to him, but even more interestingly, he introduced himself. And then my father took the opportunity and introduced him to us, saying, okay, do something together. And then two things happened. Gabi, in his master's in the Technion, did some work on, it's too complex for me to explain, but how to price chaotic assets like diamonds in a proper way. That's what he did in his master's in the Technion. And we had some, again, incident with our father, where our father represented two diamond dealers who went bankrupt. Why? Because they could not hedge their inventory. So, you know, I said luck. So it's all about luck.
So the problem with diamonds as a whole in the industry is that demand and supply. There's a problem with demand and supply. Okay. And they sort of control how it's priced. Sometimes, so you can suddenly be stuck with a lot of stock that you can't sell.
Yes.
Okay. At a lower price. And somehow he pitched, you have a technology that knows how to create the demand and supply. You know how to manage how much to buy and how much to sell. Am I correct?
Also, you can bridge your financial risk. Like any commodity holder, let's say if I'm an airline, I can hedge my risk to oil just to, you know, if I sell the ticket, you know how it goes.
So
to hedge, to get some financial exposure, either to hedge or to invest in diamonds as a commodity. So that was the goal.
But how are you and OR relevant to this equation?
As entrepreneurs are not always relevant. I'm always, again, also in Bridgewise, I'm the business front, let's say. Gabi is the genius. He's our CEO today. He's the visionary guy. He leads the, let's say, he's not a tech guy per se, but he's the vision behind the tech and he's leading the company from a vision perspective. And I'm, again, the business lead, always the operations guy. He leads actual day to day. Again, right. Both the previous company and today. So we are very complementary, all three of us. And we have a fourth co-founder, which was Gabi Soldier in the army. So nepotism is a good thing.
So Gabi came to pitch to your father. Your father said this, and I have these two apparently geniuses that also won this amazing tournament at a young age, made money, finished 2 degrees at age 21. Can you take them on board on this adventure? And am I correct?
Gabi came with a different idea than the diamonds, but yes.
Okay.
Generally speaking, correct.
And then he took you guys, okay, into work. Like not in the, I know you're partners, but did you invest money into this
adventure? We all became co-founders of this thing.
Okay.
And then we got funded by VCs and sold the company after 3.5 years. And then we founded we said, okay, after this, we are good partners. We like to work with each other. Let's do an even of a bigger thing.
Yeah, but you're good for that. Not everybody can sell a company.
I'm fast forward.
Podcast, I'll tell you what I'm missing here. Okay.
Yeah.
We already were first in Israel. And then after first in Israel, we finished a degree in an amazing age. It's not like US. So it's an amazing age. You guys are twins as well. So this is happening together. Now for a second there, you have a 3.5 year venture. Okay. Did you work before this?
No.
Okay.
Sporadically.
No, it's fine. By the way, I never got in for myself. I got interviewed for jobs. I never got in. So I became an entrepreneur because I had to make myself a job. So I get it. I just literally, I'm wondering, you didn't work as a business person.
No.
Say not in technology, not in commodities, not in diamonds, and not in a job. Okay. So let's go through this because it sounds like right now that you're the most amazing person in the world, which I agree with, but I'm looking like how... Didn't that stress you out? Like, how'd you know what to do? Like, who taught you diamonds? Who taught you business?
So I want to say, in terms of, you know, fear or stress, I want to say that because we're 21, we're less stressful because we knew less about what's about to come, which is a good thing. You need to be clueless sometimes. Being clueless helps in a way because you are less afraid of what's about to come.
Ignorance is a bliss.
And second thing, we are...
But if you don't know what to sell, like, hey, hi, this is my first day. I sit down, I'm like, hi, okay? So go do business. I'm okay. I'm like, no problem. I'm 21. I know everything. Like, I have confidence. You're amazing. Now I'm going, hey, diamonds, you need to... 24 carats, whatever. Like, what? How? I bridge that gap for me.
Yeah,
I want to see how, like, you dove into that.
So like, the level of entrepreneurship we are at today is way, way, way beyond where we were then. Okay, so I'm not saying that back then we were perfect entrepreneurs, not neither today, yeah. But we improved a lot. I guess self-confidence and, again, being clueless helps.
Take me through that first day. I'm telling you why. I'll tell you
first
again.
Day, you just do
I
it.
Understand that today you're in a different level. But I'm really interested because when I, like, most people, just it's going to be the first entrepreneur, you know, whoever listens to us, it's like the first. So they want to get into to a new industry. And this industry is, you know, they have the confidence, but how do you start? Okay, so
just do it. You just do it again. I don't know.
So what did you do? What did you just do?
Start speaking with the relevant industry experts.
How do you know? How do you know who's relevant?
So in the specific industry, you either speak with again friends and friends of friends, and then you are connected. And by the way, we still do it. That's how you get better and more. Let's say expert in the specific field or vector or vertical you are at. And also I can tell you again, I think I want to be modest, but we have some natural talent that enables us to learn fast and adapt fast to a level. I spoke, let's say, the diamond dealer's language in less than 3-4 months freely.
We're excited to be collaborating with the Israeli website CTech, owned by Kalkalist, Israel's leading business newspaper. CTech is the gateway of the Israeli high tech to the tech world and vice versa. If you're not already a regular reader, we strongly recommend that you check out kalkalistech.com, CalkalistEch.com, to stay up to date on all high impact stories from the Israeli tech scene.
So, what was difficult?
Back then, I can tell you, getting into a very specific, I wouldn't say traditional industry or niche, okay, is very, very challenging. I wouldn't say impossible, but challenging because, you know, it's a lot of very, very old connections and it's a very full, like it's an industry that is full of trust. It's all about trust in that industry. But you know, I sometimes I say to some friends that kind of a wonder kid, quote unquote, effect could lead into one of the two extremes. They could, like, the other side could either, you know, say, okay, this is not, I'm not going to do anything with this young, whatever, peer of mine with Dog, with all, with Gabi, okay. But if you are good and you are young, people like to work with you better than, let's say, older peers of theirs. Because that wonder kid kind of phenomenon, okay, is something people like very much. Now, again, I'm 30, so I'm less of a wonder kid, I want to say. But back then, it was a tool that if you're good, you can use.
So, Dor. Let's talk wonder kid, all right? Because I don't believe talent is ever enough. And I also don't believe that things come easy to wonder kids either. And I think it was Jordan that says that he wasn't the most talented. He just worked hardest. So I'm taking all that as a premise. And I'm trying to understand, because everything in life is a strategy. And a pattern, right? We agree on that?
I want to say a lot of luck is in there as well, but yes.
Yeah, I always need luck also. I think we all agree because it's never enough. You can be the best. You can be the best. You can work hardest and just not have your stars align. But Wonder Kid is now on a new venture with brother Wonder Kid. And you need to now understand an entire industry, ecosystem, where you are within it, know your place, know where you want to be, and now get to that place. If it was FIFA, then the rules are straightforward. Here, completely new territory. Walk mm-hmm. us through the first period of entering a completely new landscape.
Okay, I can go to the diamonds thing, but let me give you a specific story from the Bridgewise experience, okay? Which is, I can tell you, I hope you like it. So we had an idea of going to the Japanese market. Maybe the most highly demanding market, very, very, very hard to go into, both from a culture, product, language, super, super, super hard. Very big industry, very big market, but super hard to penetrate to, okay? So we have, I specifically identified, that was my task, I've identified three potential, let's say, organizations that could be a good partner for that. Entry, as an entry point. I can tell you the names, but one of them was Rakuten. Rakuten, it's a very big Japanese conglomerate. And the reason we chose Rakuten as one of them was because, one, their people speak English better than the average Japanese because they're very global oriented. Second, because a very harsh competition with their biggest competitor, SBI, okay? And the third, you know why? Because they bought Viber a few years ago. And Viber, I don't know if people know, but it's an Israeli company. So I could have an Israeli connection to Rakuten, which could bridge me into some kind of engagement with them, okay? So again, we somehow, let's say, engineered, okay, the way into how we can potentially get a lead into Rakuten or alike. And I did it. I tried to reach out to the Viber CEO, but I did not have a personal connection to him. So I looked on LinkedIn, on Google, and I saw that one of our investors live next to him in the actual city or in the actual street. So I asked him, I gave him a phone, and said, do you know? He said, yes, he's my neighbor and he owes me a favor. So then, okay, can you connect us? So this, again, and it led to a connection to Rakuten. And I can tell you now, Rakuten are a client, one of the biggest clients of Bridgewise.
Okay, so your strategy, a lot of networking. I'm hearing you. A lot of networking and a lot of like hacking the, you know, straws. You have a twin brother, right?
Yes.
What's his superpower?
Wow, he's the exact, first he's a prettier version of me. But let's leave that aside. He's super, super duper organized, which is the exact opposite of me. I want to say talented in, I don't want to say selling, but with people. You know, I know how to connect to people, to understand their needs, to be a friend of theirs, to speak nicely, etc. He doesn't like these kind of things, but he's super organized. He's super like structured. When we were starting
an operations person,
he's super operations. When we were studying at high school, everyone was taking all notes in order to study for the exams. Okay.
Okay. And in high school, everybody came to you when they wanted what?
I don't know. A joke.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you have a pretty good team with your brother.
Yeah, this is, again, why I said luck, okay? Luck is also knowing what you're good at and having good partners that would complete, again, be of a good complementary skills to you. Naturally, I had my best partner since I was 0 days old, okay?
That's the exact opposite of luck, okay? So by definition, okay? Okay. But luck is something that, that again, if you're, let's say I'm going to casino, okay? And then I use the roulette and I put every time on the red, okay? There is an exact 49% chance that I have that luck. Now, the thing is, how many times am I going to do that to like strice? So if you have luck, okay, the only way to achieve luck is to do it again and again till it perspires. It could happen the first time, but when you say it too many times, and what happens is you probably did it 100 times and won that luck. Having said that, you had to find that superpower for your brother and yourself, right? So this is something that's interesting for me. So you're the same DNA. Are you identical twins?
No, lucky him.
Okay, so you actually got, so this is a home. I'm going to go back for your home for a second. That he's an operation guy and you're like the, the correct charismatic business guy. Correct?
You said.
Okay, I said. Now, in that home, who got better feedback at home?
Of course, him.
Why?
Because he's more structured. He's the no. I'm also. I want to say I was a good, quote unquote, boy. Yeah, but you know, I did not. I did not fail my exams. But he was more structured.
Wait,
I never did homework. Let's say.
I understand. Now I have a question. Who was the bulldozer between you two? Me. You. So this structured guy that got the feedback, but you pushed him forward, right? Like, yes. I'm going to give this hypothetical. If your brother, if you weren't in your brother's life, what would you imagine him doing today?
Him?
Yep.
Wow, that's a billion-dollar question. I guess
he would be an entrepreneur.
Again, it's a guess. Yeah, I don't know if he'd like it, but he'd be an accountant, CFA.
Okay, and you yourself, what would you be?
Wow, that's a very good question. I'd be something in either again a lawyer like my father, right. but the guy that likes to, you know, fight in court again, or a salesperson, I guess. Yeah.
Would either of you dare to go down a path that your father doesn't approve?
Yes, of course.
Did it ever happen?
Not really.
By the way, what is your dad? Is he more like your brother or yourself?
He's depends. We are, you know, always our partners and our best friends says that we are the better version of the combination of our five.
Can I give a guess?
Yeah.
I'd say that maybe every day he's more like your brother, but his inner monkey, the inside of him, okay, would like to be you.
So it's the exact opposite. On the day to day, he's very, let's say, you said charismatic. My father, everyone likes him. He's like getting plays. Everyone would know him after 2 minutes.
Right.
Which is very not like my brother, but he's super structured. He's like, he finished his PhD in 5 years end to end with the bachelor and master's. So gotcha. He's more extreme than us, but we got, again, splitted, and I want to say better in our core skills.
Nice. And okay, just one more question. So now I'm getting a clear picture. So when you started, is he like, does he help in the first stages? Did he help you guys a lot with the networking? I don't mean with the business, like throwing the first pieces in. He has like a good name. He's very accountable with other people.
Naturally.
Nice. And your mother?
My mother is a nurse by profession. But a lot of advice, but not on the practical side.
Yeah, but on the social caring side, I'm sure she had some attributes.
Yeah, of course. A lot of who we are today is thanks to her, naturally.
And perhaps when you started with the first entrepreneurial journey, because I keep trying to find what gave you the ability to structure a way forward in complete chaos, which has to be, because that's what it is when you don't know anything at that stage. So perhaps your father was the missing link here, that who was able to guide you, at least in some.
Maybe just throw the right nuts in the beginning to get you guys rolling.
Yes. But I can tell you the day-to-day of both of our companies, he's not involved whatsoever. And, you know, maybe in the beginning he was because, you know, as a trusted advisor, let's say. But nowadays, I want to say that.
Wait, let's talk about nowadays. Now I want to say, now I'm fast forwarding. Okay, I'm in Bridgewise. Okay, you already sold a company. You've done stuff, right? Okay, how much are you now? Do you feel maybe that the roles are flipped? Maybe? Now, are you throwing actually networking to your dad now?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so like, how does he feel about that?
He's super happy. I tell you, whenever my father is starting a new conversation with someone, he shows the Forbes 30 Under 30 article about us. That's the first thing he shows.
Okay. Now you said that you're not the person who passed exams, right?
No, I did, of course.
But not like your brother. I'm sorry, right?
Yeah, he was more again a structured homework guy. Yeah.
Dor, from 1 to 10, how proud are you of yourself that now that you can contribute to your dad's business? And how much was that a goal? It doesn't have to be the first priority goal, but an important goal that led you to strive and work so hard.
The first, I can tell you, the number one My and again, now I'm getting to it. I think every entrepreneur, every person, in order to achieve extraordinary achievements, need to find the reasoning inside themselves to do extreme steps or to do extreme, to take extreme risks.
More important than the money.
Money is, of course, one of them. But I think money is not enough, because you can get money even without taking, you know, and those.
What was it for you?
Family.
Okay, now making question
for again, and that's answering your question. Right. Making my parents proud.
Yeah. Amazing. By the way, the ruling of thumb, okay? Doing something for other people, okay? It's always a better motivator than yourself, but I'm not saying that in a good way. It could be to impress people or to make someone proud. Yeah. It's a great... Now, I have a question, though. You did everything now, right? So what's... They're already proud. So that's it?
But now there are more things.
It's going to be a flop?
No. Of course not. Because
not. What's the next one? Who do you want to make proud?
First, you know, my wife and daughter. I want to also provide them with a good... A life and infrastructure for their potential growth.
They have it already. You have everything already. That's it.
Yeah, but there's always more, and you know, to the bigger family, I want to say. And also
have enough for the bigger family as well. What's going to be the goal? You have enough now. A bigger pool, a smaller pool, you know.
I want to finalize, potentially, I want to create a store in Bridgewise that is a story of success, is a story of a good impact.
Impact. Okay.
Yes, exactly.
Wait.
On how we do what we do.
On the why. So why? Why is this? So we said about pride in the family, making the family, having confidence in yourself. All those things are amazing. But now what's the why now?
I guess, again, creating an impact, both, of course, financially, but even beyond that, on, you know, one of my biggest moments of joy was when, again, my mother is a client of Discount Bank here in Israel. And when they had a very big commercial with our product, they are clients of ours, like all of the other banks. So they had a very big TV commercial with Rotem Sela, the fashion model, et cetera, with the Bridgewise product. And she said, Bridgewise. So my mother then said, you know, now I understand what you guys do. that was maybe one of the biggest moments of joy in my life, because, you know, it's tangible. And now I can tell you again, the impact that, and how we now delegate that success globally, having similar success in Japan and Brazil, where, to be honest, some of our investors in the early beginning said, like, you guys are crazy if you believe you are going to be successful in Japan. Mm-hmm. What was the last time an Israeli fintech was successful in Japan? And we told them, we'll prove you wrong. And we are doing it as we speak. So I guess, again, the impact of kind of proving, not wrong, but proving the fact that we can be...
Proving you're right.
Exactly. Not as a revenge, but, you know, as a kind of... Okay,
as an aspiration.
And then, you know, I have some more dreams personally. From an impact perspective and from a self, like success kind of
self-fulfillment.
Fulfillment. So there are more to come, let's say.
So let's say this, we're talking about your brother, but let's say for you, I want to know for our listeners now, what do you think your superpower is?
Wow. I want to say people like me.
Likeability?
I but not from a cynical place, because I also like them. With all of our...
Likeability means the ability to be liked. That's all it means.
Be liked, right? And to get along with people, which is not an easy task and not an easy talent. Second, I know how to pack things very, very in a way that other people understand it. Mm-hmm. And get like aligned with the story of what I'm saying. And the third most important thing, I have that, and I believe that's a talent that most people, I don't know if everyone can get it during their life, but the relentless kind of, you know, I don't give up until we get success. No matter what, no matter how much time, no matter how much effort it takes, that kind of thing is, I think, a talent I have, or we have, but I'll speak about myself, the being relentless up until
I think by your story, by the way, that's your number one, because you also did that for your brother, because he was not an accountant. Yeah. And what would be your weakness?
My weakness? I'm a very bad manager. I was never practiced to be, you know, I was never taught to be a manager or to be I'm maybe a natural leader, but I'm not a structured leader
you're not a great manager because you're relentless?
Could be. And again, also because maybe I believe in my, you know, it's a good discussions we had yesterday here in Bridgewise, because I believe in my talents in the best way. And I find it sometimes hard to delegate, which is a challenge in scaling startups, to delegate operations or things you have to do. So that's part of my personal growth, let's say, in the last and coming months.
You don't want to do it because it's very clear from across, since we started this conversation, if you want to do something, and you also said persistence is your superpower. So obviously, if management was a priority at any level, then you would be a manager right now because that's what you would decide. I think you have your alter ego, aka your twin, that you can you can just let him handle that. And of course, you have your CEO, so you think you're sorted. But I don't think it's your weakness.
That's what I'm not a structure guy from a process perspective, which can lead to failures sometimes.
How are you with being vulnerable?
I'm less vulnerable, I want to say, but maybe I'm biased. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
My vulnerability is. Again, the people I love and what and among them, by the way, are clients. Like if something is, again, on personal life, naturally it's a thing I care the most about. But I can tell you also from a client perspective, if a client is not happy with something that happens in Bridgewise, I take it personally, to a point where I come here in the office and I get crazy. Right. Not only because of the business impact, because of, you know, It's me. It's my name. You know, yeah. it's everything we are doing here. It's like, so I that's maybe because, and may that may lead to some irrational decisions sometimes because it's very emotional for me. So I'm a very emotional guy in both ways. I guess it's an upside, but also a downside.
It always is. And Dor, so in 1 year when we speak, okay? What are you going to say?
About what?
What's going to happen? Like what happened in the past year that you're proud of yourself?
We led the company to the place we wanted it to be, which means growing in all of the markets that we are active in. And that's a very hard thing to do. Maintaining good relationships with our colleagues. Strengthening our management team because I know it's a big thing we need to do in order to scale up. That's on the company side. On the personal side, be more with the family. And that's the thing I want to be, and because that's the most important thing, and make my wife and her parents happy, and hopefully also as a country we'll be in a better place. But that's not for me.
Amen.
Thanks.
At least at this stage. Maybe in the future.
True.
Thank you, Dor. Good luck.
Cheers. Thank you, guys.
That's all for today's episode. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please consider subscribing to our podcast so you never miss an episode. Also, if you have a moment, we would really appreciate it if you could rate and review our podcast on the platform you're listening to. This will help others find our show. And as always, if you know anyone who you think would enjoy our podcast, please share it with them. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back as usual on the 1st of the month.
Real life.
Superpowers.
Up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
Live.
Superpowers.